Hey, everybody, we're back. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly
and Amy
and Kristen. And gosh,
and it's been it feels so good to be back. I mean, I think honestly, all of us have been so crazy busy, and I do think there is every bit as much of an urgency, you know, in reality to getting information out to the masses, but certainly. And I would actually love to share a quick story with Amy and Kristen because I haven't told them this yet. But certainly that the time is different than it was when we started 4 years ago, in that a lot of what we shared 4 years ago was considered controversial. It was blacklisted. It was banished off of social media. We got notice after notice that we were sharing false information, starting with, let's say, the lab leak, which this week has been confirmed 100%. It came from the Wuhan lab. It is a man-made virus. Okay, so we were sharing this information. We were sharing that ivermectin was working in clinical studies. It was working. You know, there were a lot of doctors who were prescribing it under the table. They were trying not to get in trouble. And we were, you know, again, criticized, accused of all kinds of things, and none of which were true. And then today, what we sit in a place where this information is flowing more freely. And the truth, as we said a long time ago, is like a lion. Eventually, you will hear its roar. Yep. And the truth is roaring. That does not mean there's not idiots still opposing it. You know, you can look at people like AOC and then this Jasmine Crockett, who listen, if Jasmine Crockett is the best you got to put on television, I'm embarrassed for you. Okay, I'm embarrassed. I have secondhand embarrassment for Democrats right now. I'm like, really? She's your spokesperson? I mean, it's like you went to the, like, end of the line. Who's the dumbest, loudest person in the room? Yeah, let's have her talk on TV. Anyway, you got those people that, you know, are still dumb. I don't think we're going to save them. I don't. But just this week, I had a friend apologize to me. And say, I'm sorry that I wasn't supportive because you're right. Wow. And, you know, it was just great because I could just be gracious because I really didn't have any ill will. I do see how the blindness descended, how cognitive dissonance happens, and how when you're in an echo chamber and you're not hearing anything else, that is what you... That's what you sit in. And it really takes a moment. I think everyone has that. I remember Kristen and Amy having some wake up moments when you guys were trying to do the Save the Children hashtag. And like social media started persecuting you and you're like, why would you have a problem with saving children? And it was again, like your brains explode and you go, wait a minute. And I've had my own, you know, where we just were all of a sudden you go, wait a second. Now I see. I thought this, but now I see, and I know better. And I think that the spirit of wisdom is from God. Number one, I think you pray for wisdom, you'll find it. I think that is absolutely true. And I think it really takes critical thinking, and it's a skill set that, you know, we are passionate about. We want to bring back to the table. We want to teach our children. We want schools to embrace critical thinking and questioning and debate, polite, civilized debate, so that we can shake out the truth. But I say all that to say, we've been real busy doing things. And I think that our need to try to get in front of every story so that our audience could have other versions of information, it feels a little easier right now. That said, doesn't mean we're going to stop talking, because we do know there is a very real evil that is opposing the truth always. And we're seeing it right now, even with, let's start with the autism debate, girls. Well, so what are we seeing?
Before we get into that, can I just say something to you? I wanted to add another aha moment. There's two points I want to make, and it kind of goes together, is even the vaccine conversation, because I want to point out too that Holly and even her sister Anna, you know, they would say things every once in a while, or Holly would send stuff. And it was things that Amy and I were like waking up to and already kind of had a feeling, but it also was like, but I don't know. And then we finally want, it takes you looking at it yourself. So when you spoon feed people information, it actually is going to be harder for them to get to that place. they have to search for things to prove you wrong in order to find out that they're wrong. I mean, I've done that how many times now? So there, and sometimes you just think that it can't, it's so out there, there's no way it could be right, but then it is.
And there has to be like a personal catalyst too, to make somebody want to look into it. Like if there's not a personal reason for you, like if somebody's telling you something and it's not really affecting you or applied to your life in that moment, you may just be like, oh, that's whatever, that's good. But that's what happened with the vaccine thing and then COVID and the vaccine. It's like it all just like came full circle. And we're like, well, wait a minute. Okay, now all of this that we've been hearing is making more sense now because we had a personal experience, you know?
Yes. And so I think, and I, what I love too is when you tell me stories about that, and then when you see people coming around, because that's not the only story, that's not the only person that has said stuff, and it's not that we've had a lot of people necessarily apologize, but you can see people saying, you know, people are getting it. And I just want everybody to know that I don't think any of us are going to say, see, I told you so.
No.
Why haven't you been listening? That is not where we are coming from. Even though there's a whole lot of I told you so's that we could say, we don't do this to say that. We are doing this out of love and because we care. And literally the reason I even started becoming vocal, because like we said, there's a lot more to lose than to gain when you start saying, when you start putting yourself out there. And, but it got to the point where we couldn't hold it in, because if we did, we felt like we were doing other people a disservice. We do this because we want you to be informed and we want people to wake up. So we do it out of love. And it's interesting because I know we're going to get on the autism debate and stuff. And I saw somebody post the other day. They're like, we have never wished an ill will on anybody or any child. If you have or have not had a vaccine, that has nothing to do with anything. I've never wanted ill will. I mean, well, there's a select few people over the past 2 years that I have to pray to take the thoughts out of my head. But it's, I mean, y'all will probably know one right.
You know who we're talking about.
Anyway, but there are, but we've never, ever, no matter what decision you've made, I would never want anybody to be hurt. And I don't want people to get to the point that's the catalyst. So many people get to the point because something bad happens. Mm-hmm. We don't want, nobody wants.
No.
Most well, of and us. But there certainly are not. Who are like, oh, I'm glad they did it. Just like, I mean, there are just some really, really ill, horrible things that have been said. And you're like, wow.
Well, you know? there were people who took the vaccine who belittled, attacked, hurled insults at us and people like us, and then either dropped dead or had heart attacks or strokes or debilitating diseases from it. We do not rejoice and announce that. It breaks our hearts, actually.
Yeah, because we, that's... They hope, I hope you die.
We die.
We did not get vaccinated. Or remember that person who had the Halloween decorations?
Yes.
Put tombstones all in their yard and said, these are all the unvaccinated people. I mean, they were literally, even our president at the time said, you know, it's the winner of severe illness and death, and you are, you know, you're, it's your fault, basically.
So I just want to say that we love hearing these stories, and I don't want people to ever be like, you know, it takes a lot of courage to even admit when you were wrong, or when you admit like, I was wrong. Hey, I was wrong about, I was encouraging my family to get vaccines years ago, years and years and years ago when I had Riley. Yeah. I mean, and now I'm like, oh my God, like I was wrong. I was wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So we want that because we, you know, we just want you to be informed because we care about your health. We want everybody to be well.
Well, and I mean, it's just like you said, when we know better, we can do better. And I think our perspectives have all three of us have altered even since we started the podcast in certain ways, right? It's like you grow. It's and I think where it all begins is being willing to ask the questions and search for answers. I think that's where every good thing begins, is like, well, what about this? And how about this? And then search for answers in as unbiased sources as you can find, meaning not studies funded by entities that have a desirable outcome for those conclusions, right? You don't want to trust that. But, you know, I used to think my mother-in-law was crazy for not going to the doctor for her annual exam. And now I look at her and go, God, she's the smartest woman in the room.
Right.
Like, and please, please. Don't take that as I'm saying, don't go to the doctor. What I'm saying is She is so healthy. And, you know, and I think that so often I'm about having knowledge and information about your health, but I think so often well visits are just this avenue, or they become money makers for big pharma and for a medical system that's very, right now, irretrievably broken as is. In other words, I think in order for us to change the medical system, it's got to almost be dismantled and then built back again. Mm-hmm. Because everybody that treats you has been indoctrinated by big pharma through the medical schools. Mm-hmm. That's fact. If you want to go right now, just if you don't believe me, during COVID, I did a little research because I live near Duke University. And I was like, okay, that's a huge medical school. Who funds Duke University Medical School? Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Pfizer. It was the known culprits, the entities you would think. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, yeah. Done with that one too, you know? So I say all that to just, you know, to say, hey guys, thanks for sticking with us all these years. Many of you have been listeners from the beginning and we love y'all. And my gosh, like clearly we are kindred spirits because you understand us, you know what we're about, but we want to keep coming to you and just having these living room conversations with you. And really to also just put some things into your minds to consider so that when these conversations are coming up in your social circles, how do we change the world? One conversation at a time, right? Don't have to post on social media. You don't have to carry a banner. You don't have to go to a rally. You can literally start with your best friend, your neighbor, your cousin, your mom, your dad, and just say, hey, did you know? And when you just start those polite conversations, even though we want to stay away from them, the reality is that's how we changed minds during COVID. It was one, have you thought about this? What do you think about this? And giving them some facts and information. So we have our Substack. Just Think Substack. Kristen always puts our sources in there. If you ever need sources for anything, you can go there to find it and subscribe there. But back to the vaccine conversation, because this week or the last 2 weeks, RFK, you know, in an emotional moment said, hey, autism is destroying families. And of course, that was all people who hate RFK and hate Trump needed to say that they were somehow belittling the worth and value of an autistic person or child. Which nothing could be further from the truth. If you know RFK, you have followed him as we have for years. This man has a heart for these kids. And what he's trying to do is stop another child from developing. Yes, I said developing. I don't believe you're necessarily born with autism unless something happens in the womb that's environmental. I think there can be propensities in the brain. I think this is what science is showing. You might have a propensity to, for example, I have the MTHFR genetic mutation. I'm not going to methylate heavy metals out of my body like maybe Kristen or Amy does if they don't have it. And so what would happen? It would go to my gut and my brain, cause inflammation. What happens? What is autism? They've essentially determined it's encephalitis in the brain. It's swelling and inflammation in the brain affecting different parts of the brains and in different ways and to varying degrees. Okay. So what we want to do is we want to get to the bottom of this, and we know that it is not genetic. And that is one argument I have seen online. And I just think, hey, maybe take a class in evolutionary biology before you go posting bullshit, excuse my language, on social media, because it is not genetic. You might have a genetic propensity for certain things, but autism is environmentally developing because of the rapid pace. It's gone from 1 in 10,000 children to 1 in 31, 1 in 12 in California. And California has all these stringent rules about cancer, carcinogens. They got you can't get on an airplane in California without seeing you're gonna get cancer from being on it. Okay, that's how California is, and yet 1 in 12 kids has autism. So what is it? Well, we know that California has some of the most stringent rules on vaccination too. So should we be looking in vaccines? You're damn right we should.
Yeah.
And where I get really angry is when people don't even want to look, that they want to and I get it, and I get what it is. Because I have dear people in my family who have wrestled with the guilt. And that is a very real reality once people realize that perhaps the environment did give their child something and it was preventable. But let me just tell you, every single one of them, that those people I know that feel that way would want you to know what they know. So it doesn't happen to you. And it doesn't make their children less valuable. What it means is their lives have become more challenging because if a child can't wipe, go to the bathroom on its own, cannot feed itself, or cannot speak, that is a life-changing event. And that's where we're seeing the debate between the autism parents who think that somehow we've belittled, or those of us who want to look into this are belittling their reality of how precious their children are, which we are not. But why wouldn't you want to know what's caused it? Kristen?
Well,
I'm going to say something.
I made the point too, like, even nothing as severe as autism. And I know that's even on a spectrum, but diabetes is severe. Diabetes, when you find out as a parent and you have a young child with diabetes, and that is something that you have to really address. And that is a whole, that interferes with your lifestyle. If you knew you could prevent it and you knew what caused it, would you not want to know that and maybe take the steps to not have that? Just like somebody who has a heart attack. If you know exactly what caused that, or if you knew exactly how to prevent that, would you not want to know? We need to have answers to all of these. Asthma interferes with kids, with exercise, with anything. They could walk outside and have an asthma attack. Like, it doesn't matter, whatever exacerbates it. Like, any issue, it's an issue. Any issue is an issue.
Yeah. So,
when you aren't in perfect health, you have to deal with it. I mean, when you have a gluten sensitivity, you have to think about what you're going to eat whenever mm-hmm. you go places. Mm-hmm. You can't just eat everything. Everything interferes. So I don't think everything can get so misconstrued, and it's just kind of like, let's go back to, this should be the one thing. I mean, we've said this on several things, the border too. This should be the one thing that everybody is united on. We want to improve children's health, and we want to find out why there has been a drastic increase, drastic.
And it's gone from 19% autoimmune disease rate to 49%, I believe.
What is that graph? I don't know if anybody's watching this. That is not genetic. This is
a straight lineup.
This is not just, oh, hey, we're just like screening better. No.
I think some of the parents, like the more high functioning autistic kids are the ones who took more offense to that statement, saying they're destroying lives, because, you see people saying, well, RFK, my autistic kid is a Rhodes Scholar and is paying his own bills and living on his own.
Not the same. Not the same.
Great. And we are happy for you. There are children who excel and are genius. It turns on some switch in their brain that makes them prodigies even. But, to just not realize that there are families out there that where kids can't use the bathroom on their own, they are nonverbal. And then are we projecting out 10, 15, 20, 25 years from now when these children that can't use the bathroom on their own and can't speak are adults?
What are we going to do?
The parents are getting... we have to figure out what's causing this. I think the side of that debate that was mad at RFK feels like there should be more talk of just like inclusion in society for autistic children, support for autistic children. And yes, I mean, we have to figure out ways. They're here, and we have to, the goal would be to help them somehow eradicate this, lessen
the heal,
to heal. And I think that there probably are ways that will be found out that people can heal from autism, maybe not fully, but can become maybe a little more functioning. And that's just like a really big hope for families,
Right.
Well, we know, and just to put some hope out there for people, I mean, we know stories of, I'll tell you, someone very dear in my life that will tell you, if they had not intervened with their autistic son, he would be the one banging the head against the wall and screaming out in public. And I'm not, I watched the whole thing go down. I watched normal child, normal baby, happy, content baby, have a well visit and turn into a different person. I saw it. And I'm telling you right now, there's nothing that will make you more passionate about helping these children than having a front row seat for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that where they were able to help, and you can go back to Dr. Andy Wakefield, who was a gastroenterologist who started treating autistic children and seeing great improvement. He's like, well, what does the gut have to do with autism and what we know? Like I just told you, if the adjuvants don't get out of the body, where do they go? Gut and the brain. We know there's a gut-brain axis, and it regulates mood, it regulates everything. So Dr. Boz Ravenel, who we've interviewed on the podcast, shout out to him, love him so much. You know, he treated children for 6 years in an integrative practice as an MD, as a pediatrician who moved into integrative medicine, because he had so many autistic kids coming in that he could help through gut regulation. And then, of course, the very dear one in my life has done stem cell transplants in Mexico and gut clean diet and everything, and is very functioning right now. The highest functioning that I've seen him since he was a toddler. So it's, there's encouragement and hope, but guess what? If we can figure out what's causing it, we can get scientists to focus on resolutions and health and healing for the brain and the gut. And that's what we need, because as Amy said, we're going to have homes and institutions filled with adults who have no caretakers if we don't. That's where we're at. And I think too, to say that it is, like, again, to say that it's genetic, we can give you plenty of evidence. There's all kinds of scientists, evolutionary biologists, says there's no way that this is not genetic, and it is not, it is environmental. It is clearly environmental. But I also think we're not minimizing the value of people who are carrying this disease or disorder by saying we need to figure it out and we got to help other kids. We got prevention and we got to find cures. Full stop.
That somebody is finally willing to look at this. Somebody is finally willing to tackle
this. Thank you, Jesus.
We have a problem with it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just do not understand. I know that, I don't think we've recorded since that announcement came out that RFK said by September, that's his goal, or his, you know, that he's putting it out there by September, we're going to know what causes autism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We should all be thrilled with that, because up until this point, no one has bothered to look. No one has cared to look at all.
Mm-mm. No. And well, they've destroyed evidence. We know there was a whistleblower, Bill Thompson, in the CDC, who tells us that they destroyed the evidence that it was harming Black boys especially. Yeah. I think that was the MMR when they were studying that there was a connection to autism, and they destroyed the evidence. They even had discussions about whether they should destroy. I mean, it was wild. You go back to the Simpson Wood conversations that were recorded. These are the CDC members meeting in Georgia, and they're saying they're going to hide it. They're going to hide it. And this is why America doesn't trust these three-letter institutions or our government anymore. And just to do a little segue, go to COVID.gov, government website right now. Go to it. What are they going to find, girls? What's on COVID.gov?
All the truth, everything. Basically, that we've been
everything,
saying.
Everything we've been saying. I know we said we're not going to say "I told you so." However,
conspiracy theories, that in a thousand.
I mean, but basically, as everybody who listens to us probably already knows and has known for a long time, that COVID-19 was a lab leak. It was not from some wet market when a bat bit a pangolin or whatever.
Pangolin.
What even is a pangolin? That is, I don't even know what that is.
Some animal. Some animal that we don't know.
Have pangolins around here.
No.
Parts. But yeah, so let's be real. We've already known this. We've known, but I mean, some people are today years old, like literally finding this out and just being like, but the thing is, the people that don't believe it, they're not, even this, they won't believe.
No, they're going to say they're lying. They're going to say they're lying.
Yeah. I mean, they'll just be like, oh, well, it's Trump's White House. It's the government is, you know, they're, of course, they're going to put that up there. Like, they're not going to give it any credit.
No.
Well, no, but just go look at it, because again, it is like, it's wild. It's wild that we now, and listen, we now associate information with political parties. Yeah. How stupid is that? Like,
crazy.
But look at the administration. You've got RFK Jr., a lifelong Democrat from the Democrat family. Like, this is our, like, if there was a royal family in politics, it's the Kennedys. And you've got a Democrat partnering with a Republican president. This should be apolitical.
Y'all.
And yet, what? Yeah. What's it say?
It's saying the webpage is not available.
It's COVID.gov.
No.
Oh, it's COVID.gov?
What did I say?
That down. I was about to go off.
Yeah, I think I saw that she put in COVID-19.
Okay, COVID. I hear like that better be up. Okay, lab leak.
COVID.gov. I got nervous for a second. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and guess who was funding the lab, the Wuhan lab, the NIH? Anthony Fauci was the head of the NIH.
Oh, yeah.
And Eco Science, whatever. It was Eco Science.
Eco Health Alliance.
Yeah. Eco Health Alliance. That's right. I mean, and it goes through Peter Daszak. He used U.S. taxpayer dollars to facilitate dangerous gain-of-function research in Wuhan, China.
And Fauci lied. Like, where is the perjury? Where is the accountability?
So many times he completely lied. Look what they put. They put Joe Biden's clemency order with Fauci's picture. Like to say, well, there's nothing we can do to him now because he's guilty of sin.
Oh, and I have
gone. Like, he gone. When's the last time y'all heard from him?
Fun fact about Fauci. What did I send y'all? Anthony Fauci's fortune doubled to $15 million between early 2019 and 2023.
Oh.
Y'all.
How'd that happen? How do you just get $15 million richer during a pandemic? Huh?
He better be hiding right now.
Well, listen, if they want to let us get involved in...
We are ready. We've been ready.
For the justice to be served, sign me up. I mean, okay? Sign me up. Okay, let's...
This is what I'm trying to take the thoughts away.
I know, pray. I have to pray a lot. I told the girls before we went live, like, really, I don't know. The older I get, the scarier I think I become because I just don't care what anyone thinks about me anymore. And I'm ready to say it and do it.
Yeah.
And while we're on the health thing, let's just talk about, this is not really health, but, you know, certainly the World Economic Forum and its involvement during the pandemic of trying to literally control the world. And then there was Klaus Schwab, who literally looked like Dr. Evil. Like, I mean, he was almost a caricature of himself, who was the head of the World Economic Forum. Well, some big news came out this week, and he's abruptly resigned. Girls, what's the latest on that?
Well, I got this news from Coffee and COVID. Jeff Childers, you know, we love him. We get our daily news report from him, but he was basically just give a little synopsis. Klaus Schwab is 88, finally decides to retire at 88. Who works until they're 88? I mean,
I'm not.
Let me tell you, you're going to work if you're getting money under the table to do absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Yes. He says he decided to step down as a member immediately. But basically what the article goes on to say is that, as we can probably guess, the World Economic Forum is nothing but a literal money laundering operation. There's all these allegations now that he just completely enriched himself, him and his wife.
And mind you, that was with our money through USAID. So everybody who's mad about Doge finding all this out, they'll probably be mad that we stopped this funding too.
Right. There was like it says there's a letter. The letter's allegations paint a portrait of not of global stewardship, which is, you know, their shtick that they're just global stewards.
We're helping.
But a family run fiefdom masquerading as a charitable organization, while the World Economic Forum publicly touted its mission to uplift humanity and promote equitable global development. The insiders alleged that Klaus and his wife focused their charity much closer to home. The whistleblower letter accused the Schwabs of funneling forum resources into lavish personal indulgences, charging private in-room hotel massages to the nonprofit, directing junior employees to withdraw thousands in cash on his behalf, orchestrating token meetings to justify luxury travel. And the letter also claimed that the wife controls Villa Mundi, a $50 million lakefront mansion purchased and renovated by the forum. About the World Economic Forum. And the wife reserved large parts of it for the Schwab family private use. Meanwhile, of course, U.S. taxpayer funds, tens or hundreds of millions of dollars funneled through USAID and who knows where else, flowed through the forum, allegedly on the way to high-minded programs, while Klaus and his wife live like Saudi oil billionaires.
Y'all.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, well, and we suspected this all along. We knew that the whole World Economic Forum was a big fat hoax. And also just literally it was seeking money and power, and the U.S. was heavily funding it. And now it's just so great how the dominoes are falling, because really Doge is the one that was like, yeah, we're, you know, all the exposure, I guess, as to where these money trails were going. And then, you know, we got even Trump, the administration pulling out of the WHO, you know, just breaking these international ties that were not serving the American people, which is where we're really angry, because we watched our state, North Carolina, be ravaged in our western part of our state by a hurricane. People still are in bad shape from that situation. And we didn't see any U.S. congressmen outside of a handful showing up, bringing money, resources, time, and attention into our state. But they got time to go to Venezuela and go get an MS-13 gang member that we exported, deported out of our country. And they want to, what, bring him back? Let me tell you what they can do. Y'all go down there and stay with him. Go live in El Salvador, wherever it was. I think it's El Salvador. Go live there. Go, but you know what? El Salvador has a good president now. See, he's cleaned up that country. It was a wreck. And he has cleaned it up, and he said, yeah, we don't want him back either, but I'm not, you know, he sat beside President Trump last week and was like, what do you all want me to do? Send him back here illegally again? No, that's not what we're going to do. And it's just, it's wild. It's like, Democrats, what are you doing? Like, do you really want to stay big fat losers? You have no power right now. You have no voice or platform anymore, because no one listens to the platforms that you built your facades on. What are you doing? If you want any chance of trying to be relevant in America, you don't fight for MS-13 gang members.
No.
And they're saying, well, he's not a gang member anymore. Let me tell you something. His wife called for the restraining order, because he was abusive to her. And she was on, what, Good Morning America with Michael Strahan? Sorry, I was like, I forget that people can see this. I'm trying to, like, signal to Kristen and Amy. Who am I talking about? I'm like, who am I talking about? Sorry, I forget people can see this. Michael Strahan, he goes, I got to ask about, like, why you have the restraining order. She's like, well, my husband's still alive. And he goes, okay, well, I'm not going to press you on that one. And we're like,
why?
Y'all, it's so crazy. This is where, though, I have to be careful. I have to just ignore this, what has to be a minority of people who believe this BS. Because this is what made us crazy in 2020, right? It was like, we would hear stupidity coming out of people's mouths, like with no reason, no lack of critical thought, nothing. Yet they have a platform to stand on, and it just felt like we were all being gaslit, and we knew we were being lied to, but it was like, does everyone else not hear this? This is crazy.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what this makes me feel like. It's like, why are you fighting for this dude? Right. What are you doing?
And can we all just, like, agree at this point that, like, all these lovely little agencies, these little acronyms that sound so benevolent and helpful, like the Economic Forum and USAID, like, it's all fake. It's all designed to make you feel like it's doing something good, and they're not, y'all. They're not. Like, let's stop entrusting these agencies that use their acronyms and their names to completely just fool us.
Yeah.
We need to be done.
We're done.
Well, and it's so good to see, though, who's in charge of the CDC, the NIH, the FDA. Like, we are going to see cleanup. I fully believe that, because I know there's outsiders in charge now. These are not deep staters. These are not people that have, like, lifelong politics, or, you know, these are actual doctors who, like, give a crap about Americans. You know, it's like real good old American servants of the people are back in.
Stop. They made a new rule where pharma executives can't be
on the
FDA, like, transition over to the FDA now. Yeah. So, like, there's going to be that whole rotating conflict of interest thing is going to be over.
They're just
with
closing the rotating doors, cutting off the financial ties and incentives.
Yeah,
it's amazing, y'all, and we're going to be so much better off for this.
And so, speaking of all of this, like, if y'all watched the press conference, wasn't it yesterday? I think. with RFK and Dr. Marty McCary, Dr. Mark Hyman, Vani Hari, the Truvani girl. I mean, she has been like the biggest activist. Like, I almost got emotional listening to her because I just think, like, can you imagine how validated she feels right now? Oh. I'm talking about right now, y'all, the whole like HHS, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, like these are people that are well-respected, intelligent people that have clearly done their research for decades. And they're up speaking and, you know, because they were addressing the fact that they are going to be taking a food dye out of our food. Imagine that. Imagine that we had that it took years for them to even do this. But like, I can't imagine how validated she feels though. Like this has been her fight for so long. And like, they even had like 400,000 signatures and they had all these people at Kellogg's headquarters and Kellogg's completely ignored them and said no. And now RFK took it to Trump. Now the whole administration is like doing something about it. Now we do want to clarify, it is not banned yet. But I think what's going to be very interesting is to see, I almost think they're really smart to do it this way because
me too. Like,
all right, let's just see who's going to voluntarily take it out when you already don't have it. The same companies make the same freaking products over for Europe, but they don't have the chemicals and dyes and all this like
BS. They use vegetables.
Fruits and vegetables for coloring and all this stuff. Like, why put cancer causing shit in there? Like, why put neurotoxins in all this stuff? Why do we have fluoride? Like, there's so many things that we're like, it's like a no-brainer. And then once again, there's going to be people that are mad about this. But which how ridiculous is that?
So ridiculous. I saw somebody posted it. It made me laugh. Max Lugavere, he said, it's hilarious watching people do mental gymnastics to defend controversial ultra-processed foods additives simply because they hate the guy banning them.
Right.
I mean, it's so true. It's like, so
how can we make this look bad? How can we make this bad? Because they,
that are going to be like pro food dye because they just don't like RFK. It's crazy.
But it's the same with Doge, right? It's like, so you are upset that somebody's identifying where your tax dollars are being wasted and you're mad about it. Like, help me understand.
You're complaining about eggs. And we're paying for $50 million place for Klaus Schwab to like live in.
Listen.
Which one would you rather pay for? And by the way, egg prices are down.
With gasoline and inflation. So can you kiss it?
Border crossing. Y'all should see all
the and the border.
Y'all need to follow the Border Patrol. They are doing, I love their social media right now. But literally the Border Patrol, I just saw in an email today that like at least the U.S.-Canada border is down. Border crossings are down 95%. 95%. Who's going to complain about that?
Somebody.
Oh, wait. Remember when they said that they could not control the border? The Biden administration said we cannot control the border until the Republican Congress passes legislation. BS. BS. Right. BS.
The border bill that was 90% other things.
Right. Yeah, there was like wasn't even a border bill. Like, this is the thing. And they really are just, this is the other thing, guys. And this is where we all got to get even smarter, right? Recognize that DC has known that we were all like sheep going astray and they didn't care. They knew they could get away with it. They've gotten away with giving talking points and just like having messaging be so reiterated through the things they can control, which was mainstream media. Primarily, your newspapers, your television, they can control the information, as John Mayer wrote about back in the Bush administration. He was right then, he's right now, which is when you, and they own the television, what you get is what you, no, when you trust your television, what you get is what you got, because when they own the information, they can bend it all they want.
Yep.
Now, social media has changed the game, because people like us and podcasts, I mean, the rise in podcasts, incredible. Now you can get alternative information. And now, of course, you've got people debating like, well, now people are trusting podcasts and they can be giving disinformation. Guess what? You know what the solution to that is? Individuals get to decide for themselves what they believe, and they should probably stop trusting any and everything and start just doing a little reading and critical thinking of their own. And if you're unable to do that, then you can blame the piece of shit education system that you were raised in and try to now do better. But if you don't know something because you choose to not know it or you choose to trust the wrong people, that is on you. Yep. I am done with regulation and regulatory agencies thinking they know better or that they know the truth. No, you don't. You've never known the truth. You've lied to us since the RFK years, if JFK years, if not before. Stop acting like you got the answers. We know you're liars. We know you are liars, manipulators, and controllers, and we do not trust you. And the best thing we, the people, can do, we can keep running our mouths and talking out loud and thinking about things and questioning everything, and we will all be better for it. But if anybody starts to try to regulate anything, I will burn it down. That's where I'm at.
We ride at dawn. We ride at dawn.
We ride at dawn. We ride at dawn.
Okay? I got the
like, we're not doing this. But, you know, have y'all noticed lately? They're like, well, now we need to look at this because, like, Joe Rogan has, you know, and it really came out of that episode, who I really respect. I had Dave Smith, and they had the guy that I really respect, who's British. And do y'all know who I'm talking about? Why do I do this with names? He's so great. But they were arguing over the whole Israel-Palestine thing. And Dave Smith's a Jew. But he, you know, he has been sympathetic towards the Palestinians, not Hamas, Palestinians. And they were having this debate. And basically what came out of the debate is that, oh my God, I'm gonna have to look it up, y'all. So that you, because honestly, it's worth going to watch this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on the Joe Rogan podcast. It was like last week. And there's, I have to look it up though. Sorry, y'all. Because I can't not say his name. And let me go to the show so I can find it.
I'm listening to that one.
I know.
Yeah, it's, so this is where this conversation spiraled out of. And now I'm seeing other people. By the way, watch the one on Gary Brecka, another Douglas Murray. Douglas Murray is who I was trying to say. So Dave Smith and Douglas Murray are arguing over Israel and Palestine. And basically Douglas Murray, who is an intellectual, like professor, like historian, like he knows things. Dave Smith's a comic, but he's a comic who can read, you know? And so he's coming at it from the perspective of questioning Israel always having the best of intentions in the same way that we question the U.S., right? Like, has the U.S. always acted been the great actor? I don't think we can say that anymore, right? So Dave Smith has a lot of questions, and then the historian comes in and goes, Dave, have you ever been to Israel? No. Have you ever been to Palestine? Have you ever seen any of this? No. So he's arguing that you have very strong opinions for someone who has not, like, been in the environment. That's a fair argument. However, where I will disagree with Douglas is that Dave Smith has every right to have his opinions based on what he is learning in real time. He has his right to change his mind when he finds different information. But Douglas Murray, to act like only the intellectuals can speak, you want to check out American universities and see how well they're doing on educating American kids? Not so good. It's indoctrination camps. Okay? So we're not going to get to where only the experts can talk. Yes, I want the experts to talk, and I want all the rest of us to be able to challenge the experts and ask them why. And how, and show me so that we can all learn and figure out what's true. But we cannot go down this rabbit hole of controlling information and controlling conversation. That is what we've been fighting against.
Yep.
Well, and they just love to, anything that goes against what they're saying, they just love to just call it disinformation, you know? They just put that label on it just to go ahead and discredit it right from the jump so that people just automatically in their subconscious mind think, oh, well, this probably isn't true then, you know, and that's just, they've used that tactic for so long and now they're really having to use it. They're spiraling out of control. It's like, no, you can't listen to them. That's all just disinformation. They don't know, you know, it's like, well, how do you know? I mean, we're done.
How do you know? So, well, let's talk about this. The Carmelo, what's his last name? Because I know it's not douchebag and I think that's funny.
Is it Anthony, Carmelo Anthony, maybe?
That's it. I think that's right. He's the kid that stabbed the child in the heart at the track meet. And listen, I wasn't there. I know that they arrested this kid for stabbing in the heart and killing him. I know that he died in his twin brother's arms. I know that the father of this dead child has forgiven Carmelo for what he did. I know that. I've seen that firsthand. So what's wild to me, though, is they turned this into a race issue. And by they, you know who I'm talking about? They, the anti-white community, I guess we'll call it, because here's the thing. They've raised so much money that apparently this child's family has now bought a new car and lives in a gated community in a house they're renting. That's like a $900,000 home. And he murdered a child. Now, I don't know if it, so far it does not sound like self-defense, but let's say it was. You still don't get to go do this. Somebody lost their lives and lost their life. And the way that this is being handled by, again, we should not even give any credence or even attention to these loud, obnoxious, very wrong people. But like, there was a meme made of this child in a t-shirt that said effed around and found out. And people were clapping and lauding it. And people were saying,
stain on there. It had a blood stain on there too. Like, this is like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, who celebrates a murder like this?
We've seen that before. We've seen the celebration of these murders like this before, I feel like. And it's like,
yeah.
And also, we can point out that this story did not make national news that I know of.
Nope.
I don't think that it, like, you know, I think we can safely say, like, if the roles were reversed, there would be protests.
If a white child had killed a black child, I cannot imagine George Floyd Part Two.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? It is tragic. I don't care what color these two children were. You know what's tragic? Is that a teenage boy was so broken and filled with violence that he took another person's life. That's also tragic.
Yeah.
What happened in his life? What happened in his family that you could even think about doing such a thing?
Right. Right.
At a track meet. Like, it makes no sense. I will never. It's kind of like the whole October 7th thing. I don't care what beef Hamas, that Palestinians and Israel have had for 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever years, hundreds of years probably, but you know, ever since 1948 when Israel became a Jewish state again. I don't care. You don't get to go drop into that country and murder, rape, and behead and kill people.
No.
That you just consider, you don't get to do that and me go, oh, that's fine, it's justified. No, it's not. I don't care what that white kid did to that black boy that day. Murder is never justified unless he's trying to kill you first. And it doesn't sound like that was what was happening.
No.
Just, it's infuriating. And I am so tired. As a person who was raised to not even pay attention to race and who raised her children to do the same, I'm done. I'm done being considered the problem. I'm done because I'm not the problem. I'm not the problem. If you think you're a victim in 2025 as an American, you are the problem. That's where I'm at. You're the problem. And it's, I can't play along. We shouldn't play along with this anymore. We should start calling it what it is. This is racism. This is racism.
Well, it's also just like good versus evil. And like you said, like, it's one of those things, it kind of goes back to like this book that I love for my kids. It's called How Have You Filled a Bucket Today? It's the people that, truly though, it's like the people who are doing that, the people who like Carmela, who has that much, like, obviously something is missing in his life. There is something broken, and there's been something broken in a lot of people's family and lives for years. And this is where it's like, we've got to get closer to go back to getting to our roots and having good family and having love.
Yeah.
And I mean, it sounds like, it sounds so cliche, but we need love. We need peace. We really do.
We need faith, and we need Jesus at this. I mean, come on. Yeah. Like, we need it, because the absence of it is very dark. The absence of love is hate and selfishness, you know? And that's what we're seeing. And and you're right, Kristen, we've got to right this ship, because it's not okay. And I think to the degree that as a culture that we tolerate this idea that somehow this act was justified in any way, that we for one moment act like it was justified. Like I said, if that white boy was trying to take his life, then you're justified in self-defense. But otherwise, I don't care what he said or did to you, you don't get to stab him in the heart and kill him.
Well, and also it's one thing, even if we can grant any justification to celebrate the death and the murder of somebody, that completely blows my mind. It completely
Didn't you say too, Kristen, before we started recording, you said that it came out that this child has a track record, right?
Yes.
This
Carmella. Yes, y'all.
I want you to read that.
There is something going on. Where is that? Hang on. It's in our...
Is it in our text thread?
It's either in our text thread or in the in our messenger. Hang on. I think I have it here.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. They say Carmelo Anthony's spokesperson, Dominique Alexander, is threatening to sue people after his rap sheet was exposed. He would love for people to stop sharing it and show some respect for him. I'll just read you what it says. Felony injury to a child in 2009, forging a check, leading police on a high-speed chase, stealing a car, falsely claiming a car was stolen, offensive physical contact, probation violations, felony theft of property, felony assault causing serious bodily injury, misdemeanor assault, continuous violence against the family, theft, making a false report, and evading arrest. We are not going...
Was he a school kid? He's like... Mm-hmm.
Right?
Juvenile. He's a juvenile. And then also, what's the rap sheet on the white kid that was killed?
I don't know about that.
Oh, he don't have one. Because he doesn't have one. He was a student, apparently.
I mean, that doesn't mean he doesn't have a rap sheet, but that's not floating around because I'm sure that...
Well, he didn't have a criminal background. Right. He hadn't had run-ins with the law.
Right.
No, I'm not saying
one. That's not just one run in. That's not just two. That's not just three.
No, it's George Floyd crap, is what it is. Let's call it what it is. That's some George Floyd crap.
A kid like that does not need to be in our public school system. Period.
Nope.
And this is where it goes back to: we've got to stop letting this continue. If we would have nipped this shiznit in the bud years ago, like one of these offenses was 2009. In 2009.
He's been a criminal since 2009.
Yeah.
What was he, 10?
Was he in 2009?
He had to have been like six.
That can't be.
Was he not a kid? Maybe he was older than 18?
Maybe he wasn't.
I think he was, 17 or 18. Look, I mean, that was the... That's what it said. A felony injury to a child, 2009.
What was his name again, though? It's because I always think about the basketball player, and it's not Carmelo Anthony like that. Carmelo Anthony, it's...
Oh my gosh, that kid's... I'm going to correct myself. You know what this says? This says Carmelo Anthony's spokesperson. Okay, this is Dominique...
That's a basketball player.
Dominique Alexander's criminal record. No, this is... He's still... I guess it's... Okay, so it's not Carmelo's rap sheet. I'm sorry. It is not Carmelo. Okay. It is Carmelo's spokesperson. That's his rap sheet.
Oh, that's his rap sheet. I was like, what in the world? Okay, gotcha. Okay. His spokesperson is a thug. That's where I'm at, y'all.
That is what I misunderstood. But, I mean, so I apologize for saying that. I mean, I wasn't saying that. This is how it was reading. And then I read. So that was confusing in that. But when we started saying 2009, when I recognized that, I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense.
Wait a minute. We can just take that part out. So we won't even have to, we'll just be like, listen, here's the bottom line. This kid, whatever the circumstances were, he has been arrested. He has been arrested for murder. He was at first set a bond, I think a bail of like $1 million. I think it was dropped to $250,000. They have raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for this family on a GoFundMe for the murderer's family and him. And again, you can go all over social media and seeing non-white people, not black people, is all I've seen doing it. And not all black people, a lot of people, black people calling it out and saying how insane this is.
Calling this out. And I mean, it's a black guy calling this out. And I love everything he's saying. He was like,
he's amazing.
This is the thing. Like, it's not a black or white. Like, I hate this. I'm like, just recognize it for what it is. Good.
That's right.
And just,
that's right.
He needs help.
That's it. That's all it is.
And when you reward this behavior, how is that going to help? What's going, what is he learning from this? What?
Nothing.
He's going to learn from this.
Nothing.
He learned that he got rich from murdering someone.
Not he just got a new home and a house.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and it's just, there's the lack of accountability. Now we'll see, because the justice system hopefully will kick in and work here in Frisco, Texas. But it's like, and again, we're not saying that this white kid was completely innocent, because we don't know what went down. All we know is, unless a act is made in self-defense, it is a form of murder. Whether it's first, second, manslaughter, whatever, it's still murder. And we cannot be out glorifying this or celebrating that this happened. It's tragic on both accounts. It's tragic that the boy killed him, and it's tragic that someone's life was taken. It's tragic all the way around. And yes, we would like to see more happen in, as Amy said from the beginning, in families, in communities, where we wrap our arms around people so that they don't become that. Right. So they don't become that. Because that's some next level insanity, honestly. Yep. It's wild. And I don't know, I guess more details will come out. But like you said, the media has been awfully weird. The national media, the local media there is what was really covering it. But I haven't seen a lot of national coverage on that. From the mainstream. Have y'all? Not that I watch it.
But I don't really watch it either. Yeah. So I can't really say.
So I can't say. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So let's see. Was there anything else? Oh, y'all want to, before we hop off, you want to talk about trips to space? Y'all want to take a little flight? Flight on Amazon?
I was weeping.
For women, America.
Were you weeping
with
Oprah?
I was weeping alongside Oprah. I was just women and all women crew. It just made me so emotional.
Make space. Wasn't that their hashtag? Like, make space. Like, make space for these highly successful rich women to take an 11 minute loop into the upper atmosphere.
Was it 11 minutes or 11 seconds? Surely it wasn't 11 seconds.
11 minutes. Sorry, 11 minutes. What did I say? Seconds. Sorry. 11 minutes.
Did she? Oh, I don't know.
It was 11 minutes, I think, right? And listen, hey, good for them. Here's where I think the problem is. If that's what you want to spend your money doing and you want to go take a trip into space, cool. Do not expect me to call it historic. When you are not an astronaut, you are not an astronaut. You took a ride on a phallic spaceship is what you did. You took a ride for 11 minutes. That's what you did. And if we don't get to call that historic because you took a ride on a very expensive flight. I'm sorry, we don't get to fly first class and call that making history. That is not what we do. That is not how this works. And I think it was the deal that the women were trying to make over their flight. Like, they were like self-aggrandizement or something. It's like, no, you just did something cool. That's awesome for you. Like, no hate there, no shade there. It's when you start insisting we call it historic.
Right.
Start because what?
Social issue. It's not a social issue. You just went on a ride.
You went on a ride.
You didn't fly it. They didn't operate it. They didn't fly. They didn't spend 8 years in school and then in training. Like, no, they hopped on.
No, yeah.
Suited up and they like flew around and
suit on.
I mean, cool for you, but
nameless and faceless women astronauts for decades. Remember the one we saw actually lose her life in the classroom when we were all watching on the TV?
Yes. Yes. Went down to the school Krista McAuliffe. I'll never forget her.
You know, there are a lot more important female astronauts.
What about the one that was stuck up there in space on an actual space station for 9 months? Let's talk about her.
Yeah.
That's history, Gail King. That's history. Your 11-minute ride on the little penis was not history. Sorry. That's what it looks like. That little, I'm like, it doesn't even look like that a real.
Of Austin Powers. Y'all remember Austin Powers was like,
oh yeah,
flying through with. What is that, guys?
That's what it looks like. I was like, listen, it is what it is. I'm just saying. It's not historic, and like, it's not life changing. You didn't go do anything that was really of great significance to anyone other than yourself. I don't think you really inspire little girls across the world to say, I want to take a ride.
I want to take a ride in a penis. Oh, they sure did come out and kiss the ground like they had been gone for 10 years. Kiss the ground like, what a dramatic photo op.
I'm like, it's just so dumb. It's just like, yeah. If they had just covered it like these women paid, I think, I don't know if they just got invited on. I thought someone said it was like $150,000 to do some. I'm not sure that's right. So don't quote me on that. Here's the thing. Don't care how they got on it. If you took that ride, cool. I don't mind the mainstream saying, hey, they went on a ride in space. That's awesome. The fact that they thought we were supposed to turn this into some huge deal is like, check yourself.
Yeah.
Check yourself. This is not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like Cat Williams said, no, MF, we got bills and shit. Talking about when Gayle King's like, did you go to space? Did you ride in space? You're like, no, we're just down here trying to pay our bills, okay?
That is why I'm saying it's so disconnected from the average American. We don't care. We're trying to buy eggs and put gas in the car, okay? Right. That's what we're trying to do.
Right.
This is, we do not care. And it's just like, there's so need for self-importance. It's like gross. And that's really, that's what's going to bite him in the end. It's like, it's fine what you did. Cool. But like, no, we don't get to make this into a huge deal. Go bring some hostages home. How about that? Start there. That would be historic.
Yeah.
Go do that. Your little 11-minute ride in space was not a big deal. Sorry. Yeah. That's where we're at.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Anyway. No.
Well, girls, this has been cathartic. I feel like I can go about my week now and get back to my life and business.
Because doing this more regularly because
we are back on our regular schedule, y'all. So,
hey, we got some great interviews coming up. We got Dr. Peter McCullough is coming back, Dr. Paul Thomas and his wife, Dee Dee. We've got some good ones in store, and we're excited to revisit with our friends who were in these trenches with us back in 2021 when we started, and we're using their educated voices to help people get the truth. And so we're going to be doing follow-ups with them. And of course, the three of us will always be happy to run our mouths with you just to talk about what's going on in the world. But hey, girls, it feels a lot better in 2025 than it did in 2021. I will say that.
I will say. I 100% agree.
Progress. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye, y'all.